Welcome to the Not So Basic Training Podcast, featuring Suzanne Gust. And now, here's the Not So Basic Training Podcast.
We all negotiate. Some of us do it well, some of us don't. You've probably heard of tough negotiators, and they have a lot of power and they're intimidating. That's not the only way to negotiate. I'm going to give you two ways to really look at negotiation. I want you to think of negotiation from the sense of building or attaining power, and negotiation from the sense of building or attaining a better relationship. And the best possible point to negotiate from is having a great relationship with someone and having power. And so we're going to talk about different places that you might be. So I want you to think of two axes, one of power and two of relationship. So let's imagine that you're looking at these two axes, power and relationship, and you are walking into a negotiation situation. You'd want to know where you stood with power and with relationship. Imagine that you have zero power and zero relationship. That would be a situation you would want to avoid. For instance, you are at no position to negotiate if you have zero power and zero relationship. So you walk into a company and you do not know anything about the company and you don't know who you're supposed to call on and you're a salesperson. That would be operating from what we call a zero-zero position, meaning zero power, zero relationship. You don't have a lot to negotiate. You don't have any power, and you certainly don't know anyone. Now, other people operate from a total position of power, meaning that you have tons of power and zero relationship. That might be equivalent to me walking into a car dealership, knowing exactly how much the car costs, having five other dealerships that also have the exact car I want in stock, and I live out of town and I will never be coming back to get service again. I don't care at all about the relationship. I have all the power. And by the way, I have cash to pay for the car. Total position of power. That position of power is called negotiating from a telling situation, meaning that you are going to tell somebody what you're going to take. That is typically seen as a tough negotiator, but probably not the best negotiator. Let's look at another end. Zero power, so you don't have any power at all, but you have a great relationship, or the relationship is incredibly important. I'll give you an example, personal this time. My son has an April 1st birthday, and so does my mother-in-law. I have zero position of power for deciding where we go out for dinner on both of their birthdays. I want to have a great relationship with my mother-in-law, and so do I have any power in saying I don't want to go someplace? No. My mother-in-law had the birthday first, so my power is zero. It is not my birthday. My power is zero. I am my son's mother, but my power is still zero. But my relationship's very important. And so in that position, total relationship, zero power, it's a position of giving in, where we negotiate knowing that we're going to walk in giving something to maintain a relationship. Another place to negotiate is about half power and half relationship, meaning that you have some power and you have some relationship, but you don't have total power and you could have a better relationship. That is typically referred to as a compromise position. Since you don't hold all the power and you don't have a great relationship, you're probably going to play a game of give and take. You walk in and you offer something and someone counteroffers, and you give and you take. Going back to the automobile example, you walk in and you want a vehicle, but it's kind of scarce. You do have cash, but it's not available everywhere, and the one that you want is on the lot that you're currently at. You've dealt with the salesperson, but you've dealt with him and never purchased a car, and so you have a little bit of a relationship, but not a total relationship. You can see where you'd be in a much different position if you've purchased 15 vehicles from this person, but you're not. You've never purchased anything. You do have cash. You are going to be in a compromised situation. You are not going to go in and tell them what you are going to pay. But you also are not going to be in a give-in situation where you don't have to take exactly what they say. And so you are in a situation of compromise. That is not necessarily the best position to negotiate in, but it's the one we're most familiar with. Another position to negotiate from is a position of total power, lots of power, and a great relationship. Now, in order to negotiate the best possible outcome, the other person you're negotiating with also has to have power and also has to have a relationship. It would be the equivalent of walking in and negotiating with someone who had the authority to make the decision. You would never want to walk in and negotiate with someone who couldn't make the decision. You might have a great relationship with them, but no power. They don't have any power. The concept of negotiating from a power and a relationship standpoint and having the other person in a power and relationship quadrant that is high is called collaboration. And sometimes when we're going to collaborate with somebody else, we need to give them a little bit more power and we need to give them a little bit more relationship. So sometimes we walk in with lots of power and we walk in with lots of relationship orientation, but the other person needs time to develop that. If you do not develop that in the other person, then you'll probably be in a compromise situation. The best possible way to negotiate for the best outcome is in collaboration. Let me give you an example of that. In negotiating a salary with one of the facilitators that works at my company, I have a lot of power because I own the company. I also want to maintain a great relationship. I have invested a lot of money into this person, and they are great. And it's a people-oriented business. I don't want to kill someone in a contract or salary negotiation because it's going to come back to haunt me at a client level. So the relationship becomes highly important, and my power position is very good. Now let's look at her power position and her relationship. She needs to maintain a relationship even if she were to leave. So that's going to be highly important, but she may not have as much power as I do, or at least think she does. If she knows it would hurt severely for her to leave, it would hurt my business, then she does have a lot of power. But let's say that she doesn't have a lot of information about what other people make in the industry. By sharing that information with her, I give her more power or more understanding. I also create a better relationship. There's something inherent in collaboration, and that is that both of us come out with an outcome that maybe neither of us planned on. And it's not necessarily a give and take. It's pointing to a higher goal and making sure that we can both accomplish it. Let me give you an example. And I'll give you an example of all five of the ones I've talked about with this trainer in a salary negotiation. If she walks in and she's only worked for me for 2 days and she hasn't proven herself, she would be in a 0-0 position. No power, no relationship with me. She could not come in and tell me that she wants a higher salary. It's probably not a great place to negotiate from. If she has total power, no relationship, that would be a position of her coming in knowing we just sold a huge program to a Fortune 500 company and she's the one they want. And she doesn't care if she kills our relationship. She just wants to double her wages. She could come in and operate from a total power position, zero interest in the relationship, and that would be a position of telling me what she wants. You can see the advantages of that for her would be getting what she wants. Disadvantages are a long-term relationship. Another place that she could negotiate from is a total relationship standpoint, but zero power. Let's say that her and I have worked together for 5 years. Which is great, and we have a wonderful relationship, but what she's currently skilled in training, we can't sell. She would have zero power to negotiate any salary increase, especially if she was currently overpaid in the market, and we can't sell her. No matter how great the relationship is, she's going to have to give in to whatever I offer her. That's the position she'll be in. Now, another position is the compromise position. That is half power, half relationship. So let's say that she's fairly well accepted in the facilitating community. She's one of our better trainers or facilitators. She's highly requested and she's been there a year. So the relationship is fairly good. She's probably going to tell me what she wants and I'll tell her what I want. We're going to negotiate or compromise on a salary. A much, much better place to negotiate from, as I've explained before, is collaboration. And the difference between compromise and collaboration is collaboration, we are focused on the same outcome or the same goal. I want to keep this trainer, and she wants to stay. That is the same goal. And there's some other things that we want. I don't want a lot of risk. With a high salary, I have a lot of risk. She wants to make more money and be acknowledged for what she's done. I tell her in collaboration that I'm worried because I'm having a risk with a salary. I have a lot of power, remember, because I am the owner of the company and I can decide what she gets. She has a lot of power because she can walk away. We both have high power positions. So I tell her that I'm concerned about risk and that I definitely want to pay her what she's worth and I want her to stay and I want to keep the relationship. And she tells me she wants to have the ability to earn more. In this negotiation and collaborating like this, we could come to a conclusion that I pay her a salary plus a billable hour bonus. She gets what she wants, a higher pay because she can make more money per hour, but she only makes it if she actually earns that money, which takes away my risk. That's collaboration. We both reached what we wanted. I wanted her to stay and be happy, and she wanted to stay and be happy and have a little bit higher salary. I don't mind paying it as long as she meets my needs. So we both walk away with the outcome that we wanted, and hopefully she's happy. That's collaboration. So the five different ways of negotiating, once again, zero power and zero relationship, is a situation you want to avoid. And you want to avoid it definitely if you're a salesperson, but also if you're in a position of buying. Total power, zero concern for relationship, is the telling. Tell people what you want. I've seen lots of supervisors use this negotiation technique, and they just tell someone what they're going to do. And it kills the relationship. But it can be effective in some cases. A relationship of giving in, that negotiation relationship means that you have zero power, but you want to maintain the relationship, so you do what you've been asked to do. It may not have been your choice, but you have very little power to change it. A position of about half power in a pretty good relationship is a position of compromise and is often referred to as a give and take position. And a place where you can get to a much higher goal is called collaboration, where both of you have high amounts of power and very much interested in maintaining a high relationship. And remember, in collaborating, you may have to help someone gain more of a relationship, which means get to know you better, or you have to make them gain more power, which can be giving them a little bit more information. Next, let me go over how to build power and how to build relationships. But I wanted you to understand that those two things working together are going to tell you how you negotiate. You can imagine that the five negotiation styles that I just described are like tools in your tool belt. There's a saying that you can chop down a tree with a screwdriver, but it's going to take a long time. Meaning, pull out the right tool at the right time, or you're going to be forcing the situation. If you are in a position where you have a great relationship and no power, and instead you try to use a power position, you're going to fail miserably and probably kill your relationship. So you want to first start in any negotiation looking where you are negotiating from. What is your current position? The next thing that you will do is look at how you can increase whatever position is low, how you can increase your power, or how you can increase your relationship. How do you build power? So let's say that you look at your power position going into negotiation and you think it's pretty low, or it's at least not as high as you'd like it to be. There's three main areas or ways to increase power. And these are not tactics. These are methods in increasing power. I will give you some negotiation tactics in a moment. But these are methods. The first method of increasing your power is to prepare with information before you go in with a negotiation. If I go back to the salary example with a facilitator in my company, she could gain lots of power by going out and figuring out how much facilitators are paid and how much the annual increase was. And the more information she has, the more power she has. If she could find out what other people made, that would give her more power also. Not that that's appropriate, but it would gain her power. If she knew how often I gave increases, or if she knew more about me and my position of negotiating, that would also give her power. The more information that you have, the more power you have. If you are buying a product, let's say that you are actually a buyer in a company. If you're dealing with a salesperson, it would be nice to know what products they had sitting on their shelves and wanted to get rid of. The more information you had about their dog products, the more power you would have in negotiating. And how about their cycle times? What if they are cycling and sitting all summer long and you could slide your program in the summer? If you knew that information, you could negotiate from a much different standpoint. Also, information about the person increases power. If you know this person has an end of the month contract and they get paid commission on how much they make and sale per month, then at the end of the contract period, the month or the year or the quarter, they're going to be much more likely to negotiate. The more information you have, the more power you have. If you look at great negotiators, they are not telling people what they want. They are asking a lot of questions. And the reason they're asking a lot of questions is to increase their power. If you are selling, you want to know exactly what the person wants to buy. You want to find out as much information. If you're selling cars, you are finding out what they like about a car and what they don't like about a car. You're going to use this information to help sell them. So one method of building power is gaining information. And definitely before you go into any negotiation, you would want to gather as much information as you could about whatever you're buying, whatever you're selling, or about the person that you're negotiating with. Another method of gaining power is to use time. Now, if you use time, you can use it in different ways. You could use time to say that I have all the time in the world to buy something. That would put you in a position of lots of power. If someone wanted to sell something immediately, again, the end of the month commission is due. You have time in your favor then. The more information you have about time and the greater amount of time you can wait, the more power you have. Let's put you in a low time power position. You just sold your house. You have to move in a week. Your kids are in the middle of the school year, and there's only one rental property available in that school district. You have no time on your side, and you are operating from a position of almost zero power. In other words, whatever they're going to charge you, you're going to pay. There's not a lot of negotiations. That would be just doing what they ask you. The other way to build, or the other method to build power, is to have alternatives. It's to understand what else you could do as an alternative to whatever it is that you're negotiating. So let's use the house example again. Maybe you can get your children into that school district by another means, and so having an alternative gives you power to negotiate. If, for instance, you're buying a car and five other people have the same car in their lot, you have power because you have alternatives. If you're buying widgets and there's 10 other people who sell widgets, you have a lot of power because you could go to any one of them. If you're buying computer chips and there was a national shortage of computer chips and the five container loads that were coming over from China just got dumped during a storm, you have no alternatives and you are in a position of zero power, meaning you are going to pay whatever it takes to get those computer chips. That's the difference between having alternatives and not having alternatives. Many people do gather information to build power and sometimes use the time element, but they fail to go out and look for other alternatives, especially in personal negotiations, like for instance, the rental house. If they're looking for a house, they, instead of looking at lots to build and also homes that are currently available, they'll just look at homes that are currently available. They don't look at all their options or all their alternatives. So once again, to build power, you gain information about whatever it is you're negotiating on and about the person. You try to build in a time element because if you can wait longer, you have more power. And you definitely go out and find your alternatives because the more alternatives you have, the more power you've gained. When most people think of negotiations, they think of tactics that are taught by Karas or Cooper, one of those nationally known negotiation sessions that you can go to. Well, the tactics typically are built around building power, and they sometimes compromise the relationship. And once again, you really want to be in a high power, high relationship. So let's look at some tactics that are taught and the pros and the cons of these. One tactic is to use advance payments, meaning that you're controlling the money. Someone may be short on time or they need cash, and so you offer to pay them in advance. And so they'll do a deal for less money because they get money in advance. So you can use that as a tactic. You can also use different tactics that gain power. One is called cherry picking. And what that means is you ask someone to quote or give you an idea how much it would cost to do a lot of different things. Let's say in my case that someone would call and ask for 200 sessions of customer service and 10,000 notebooks and a couple audio tapes, and they want to see all of these things priced separately. Well, because they're buying so much, I'm going to give them a reduction in the price. Except when they come back to negotiate, they now have a very low price, and they say, you know, Suzanne, we just want the video. That's called cherry picking. One way, by the way, not to be cherry picked is not to provide those prices in that manner, and or to provide it in a scale. If you were to purchase all of this, it would be this price. If you were to purchase them one at a time, it would be another price. Another way to use a technique or tactic for power is to use a deadline. Provide a deadline that they have to meet. Like, I want a price by 5 o'clock. I'm leaving town. That is putting time pressure on them, and you are using time as a power technique. Another way to use that, especially if you're buying something in business, is to tell someone that you just need a price for a meeting you're going into and you won't hold them to it. Well, at least it gives you a starting point, and you'd be surprised how many people will blurt out a price if you promise not to hold them to that. And by the way, that's the point at which the negotiation starts, because that'll be the most you ever pay, and you're going to negotiate down from that. At least you knew where to start. Another power position is escalation, meaning bringing someone in the room at a higher level or asking to talk to someone else's supervisor. And that escalation means that you are in more power, that you know that you are talking to the decision maker. It can also be a way to collaborate if the person you're speaking with cannot make a decision. Another way to gain power is called the hostage technique. They have something you want, you will not pay them, or you will not send them the money for their invoice until they give you something else. Hostage technique is not typically very ethical. It's referring to something that they already should have, but you have decided not to, for instance, pay them until they do some other job for you. It's not a great negotiation technique, but it is one. Another negotiation technique for power is the iceberg theory, which you give them a little piece of business promising that there's a lot more to come. Another one, and this is the one that is not used enough and should be, it's a technique of silence. Walking in and shutting up. And the reason why this is a power technique is because that person will feel so uncomfortable in the room that they will begin talking, thus sharing information. One thing that a negotiator does is just talks and talks and talks. One thing they should do is shut up. The more information you get, the more power you get. The more information you give, the more power you give to someone. Now, if you're trying to collaborate with someone, you may want to speak because you want to build their power. If you're trying to gain a power position, you need to shut up. To build the relationship side, it's much easier to understand, maybe more difficult to do. The relationship piece of this is built by understanding the other person and understanding where they're coming from and understanding what they value. It's listening. It's listening to what the other person wants or needs from the negotiation or what their outcome or best outcome would be. That listening and understanding provides relationship. Also, understanding the person just as a person. For instance, salespeople often get to know people on a golf course to build that relationship. That's why that's happening. Or they walk into an office and see a picture of you and your son fishing and they make a comment on it to try to build some rapport, relationship, or take you out to lunch. The more you build the relationship, the less skepticism that a person is going to be out to take something from you. And that's why that relationship piece becomes important. So building the relationship is a matter of getting to know the person, and it's typically time-oriented. I know people that I do business with now that I went to high school with, and I don't have to take a lot of time building the relationship because we know each other and we know where we're coming from. Other clients I may know for 6 or 7 days and have to give them a quote. That's a poor position to walk in from because I don't know them well. I don't know their background. I don't know what's important to them. And so I try to spend lots of time getting to know them. Sometimes that is not possible, but at least if you can let them get to know you, that will increase their understanding and their relationship position. Great negotiation isn't a win or lose concept. It's walking in knowing what position you're walking in with, either power position or your relationship position, planning on how you can either increase power or relationship, and knowing what goals you want to accomplish. That's negotiation, not compromise.
This has been the Not So Basic Training Podcast. For more information, visit our website at notsobasictraining.com.
Produced by Converge Podcasting.